I'm the incarnation where them Cardinals at. With them Cardinals on their glove and the Cardinal hat. I'm in the Cardinal sports zone spitting Cardinal raps. Say it.
C-A-R-D-S, let's go.
Play your Cardinal game, get a Cardinal store. Play your Cardinal.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, brought to you by the Jamon Brown Foundation and coming to you live from the Custom Multicade Studio. I'm your host, Jeremy Wyman. Today we got a very special group of people around us. It's a little bit of a difference, but you know, there's more family in here today. But we got my guy, Sean Barber.
What's going on?
Next to him, not your love life. Next to him,
we've
got the one and only Sam Basden.
What up?
Still getting over Sean's love life.
Or lack thereof.
He has been too for a long time. Next to him, the little brother, Joe Wyman.
Stealing this from Jeff. Miami's turnover chain is as trash as Maryland.
He said it was okay as long as you gave him credit. I didn't tell you that to try to set you up, but you still gave it to him, so that's very admirable.
Because I'm not a whore.
And neither is Sean. The other regular at the table. The other regular at the table, he stands at 5'5", 3x3.
Damn.
And just 350 pounds of non-sexual vanilla, it's our guy, the Higgles.
What's up, everybody?
Wait, did you say
the Higgles?
Non-sexual vanilla?
Yeah, I did.
Just wanted to make sure.
But our guest today, taking over for the incomparable Dalton Pence, is one of my personal friends. He's a guy that's come in and helped on many a podcast, many a times. And he's, quite frankly, he's the guy who I call whenever I need somebody to fill in. It's my guy, Wes Brown. Wes, what's up?
What's up?
Not much. Thank you.
Looked down at the bullpen, tapped the arm.
I did. I had to do that. I had to tap in. And after last night, I'm not really sure that any guests would have come over here this morning to do a show.
I mean, I was sleeping here and didn't even want to come over for it.
That is true.
All right.
That is very true. But we appreciate Wes. Wes, sorry for the loss in your family last night. We were watching the game when you got that news, and you know, I just want to say that first and foremost, show respect to your family, and sorry for that, my man.
I appreciate that.
Also, real quick, to get this out of the way,
you could have told me before, like I'm over here making jokes on him and stuff.
No, it was funnier for me that way, for you to give him a hard time, because
that's true.
No, I'm just kidding.
It is.
Like, what's wrong with you, Wes? You loser? I lost a family member last night. Oh. What could be worse?
I mean, that would be still being a loser. You lose. I mean, I know it's being kind of harsh, but
well, that's,
you know,
semantics, and that's another that's another podcast we usually record here that has a lot of semantics. It's not this one,
right?
Nevertheless, also shout out to Pops. He is starting his 6-week journey of chemo and radiation in the morning. Got through. He was so funny to. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on this because I know y'all didn't tune in for the updates and stuff, but you're gonna get them anyway because it's our show. But had a rough time with the anesthesia Friday. We were riding home and he was talking to me about stuff that never happened. He was a little loopy.
It's weird. He was talking to me about stuff that never happened on the way there that morning.
Well, maybe he was just. Nevertheless, we got him in the house. He did a swanton bomb into the front through the front door. Got him up into his chair. He's having a rough time, but with that being said, much love, thoughts and prayers. I mean, Dad don't have to, thank God he don't have Twitter. But the love and support from Twitter and Facebook and everywhere, personally here in the studio, has been overwhelming. It's been much appreciated. If he knew how to respond appropriately, he probably would. Mom's probably smacking the phone out of his hand every time he goes to respond to something.
I still follow him.
Wes still follows him.
I was at work last night, and I texted Jeremy and said, you know, did Dad get in the house without any hiccups? And he said, nope, I had to spur him into the chair.
Literally. We got him in the front. Now, see, Dad, that's why I'm your favorite son. I wasn't going to bring that up. Joey did. So we'll go on with it. So we got him into the front door yesterday.
Said he did a swanton through the front door.
I was being very classy about it. He
Jeff Hardy did.
You brought up Jeff Hardy, Intercontinental Champion. I brought up Roman Reigns.
Oh,
see, I was thinking more Edge when I But anyway, we got him into the door, and his legs started going out again like they did Friday. And he's like, Jeremy, I'm about to go down. And his recliner's right here. I said, what do I do? He said, just push me into the recliner. So Edge's theme music goes off in my head. Honestly,
Sean, you never heard that, clearly.
And then I just speared him right into the chair.
Sean answered you, though. I would not have answered you.
No.
That's true.
I'd have been like, man, forget Sean. You.
Sean, you've been taking this for years. Will you go?
No,
like,
no, he actually hasn't. He's not taking it for years. He's not giving it for years. But
well, you've been going through.
There was an old saying: you give it, then you take it away.
You've been going through this abuse
just
for years.
Take it away, huh?
Will you go? You've been going through this abuse for years. Step your game up. Speak up for yourself.
Trying to get the Wamatron 5000s up to for Oh.
How is the Steelers game blacked out?
How is it?
The Steelers game is blacked out because they're on.
It started at 1. It started at 1, not 12.
No. The Steelers game is blacked out because it's apparently it's going to be on regular TV today. So I'll have to get that fixed afterward. I thought y'all were going to talk for a little more, so I started doing that. Then y'all stopped
to
pay attention to me.
Well, I seen a pair of breasts on the TV.
There goes the show, ladies and gentlemen.
I said breast, so that way we don't have to.
I'm not even a regular, and I feel like I'm about to get fired.
See y'all next week on the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. No, but shout out to all. Speaking of all that stuff, shout out to so we can get to our.
Speaking of all what stuff, the breast?
No, the best. It's a play on words. Shout out to all of our. Fine sponsors, Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, the Jamon Brown Foundation, and just everybody. We appreciate y'all supporting the show and helping us put this on for the city. So let's get into it. This is the painful part. We're going to recap the Miami game. The final score, Sean, you said was?
47-34.
I didn't want to mess that up. If you looked at the stats, you would have thought Louisville won. If you'd have looked at Twitter, you would have thought that Louisville's program should have been deep six last night. To me, it really came down to two things. It was taking care of the ball. We turned the ball over three times. And then we had two Tech Mobile plays, or John Madden plays, you know, the one play Jays, where it was very poorly defended. It took us an entire half to get. And when I say this, because I think other than those two plays in the second half, our defense was much improved from the first half.
They should have been well rested.
According to some people that I know that are with the Miami program, they felt like they should have put up 80 last night with as sloppy as we played. So, and I'm not going to put him on the spot, Coach Field, but the thought that they were should have. No, he knows I love him. But thought that they should have scored more because those two plays they executed well on. They feel like there should have been three or four more plays just like that they didn't execute well on. And I don't
know why they didn't do it more.
I'm glad they did.
No, I'm glad they did. But it's like
you might as well if it ain't broken.
And let's shout out that Miami kicker last night. My God, first off, he looked like a. A grown man.
Is the punter the same guy as the place kicker? Because the punter was a brick crap house, too.
I don't know. We didn't see the punter last night.
No, for
because he got ran. Yeah, because we ran into him on the one.
They have two different. They have a punter and a kicker.
Okay.
Different people.
So both of them are like linebackers.
Not always the case. Sometimes the kicker, we've had that happen for us in the past. Yeah, our punter has had to do double duty.
That kicker is their placeholder, though.
Okay.
I mean, punter.
Well, he looked like...
He could hit from 70 last night.
Yeah, he looked the part. He looked like somebody I want to draft for a future fantasy football roster.
Sebastian Janikowski is who he would remind me of. The size.
He was really, really tough. So let's go to you first, Sean. Why were we so... I've got a lot of thoughts here. So let's get to all of them real quick. And anybody, I said Sean, but anybody can really answer this if you have insight other than Higgy. Why were we so bad on third down, do you think?
It looked like it was communication errors.
And when I say that, let me clarify that by saying we started off 0-for-6 from third down. Sam, what did we finish from third down? I know you've got the
6-for-14.
We ended up finishing at a higher third down. Our third down percentage was better than Miami's. I'll go ahead and check that out. Y'all are just killing me.
6 for 13.
6 for 13.
I thought it was 6 for 14.
But still, we ended up. I think we finished.
No, sorry, 4 for 14.
4 for 14. Miami was 6 for 13.
So it ended up being kind of.
We
comparable.
Just took the fourth down every time, or almost every time.
We did. 3 for 4 for on fourth down, and
yeah.
So
we weren't in that. We didn't have a lot of.
But why did it take us so long? Because I mean, the obvious answer is, well, it took us long to get going, and that's for whatever reason. That seems to be like a Louisville staple in football. It always takes us a while to get going. Well, not always, but a majority of the time against good teams. We don't have problems. Last night we had problems. All right. Miami is going to be – Higgy, I want you to be on the watch for the polls. I truly believe Miami's going to show up in the top 10 today when the new rankings come out.
I don't know about that. But I'll tell you what I think. What was the struggle of third down? It's straight up play calling. Our play calling yesterday was garbage.
Shout out to the little coaching staff that listens to the show.
Yeah, that's fine. I would tell you to your face, it was garbage. It was predictable, and it was garbage. We knew that the weakness in Miami's defense was their linebackers and half of the secondary, which is fine if you threw the ball deep, do some play action, go deep. But this whole bootlegging and play action for 5-6 yards was crap. There were, I think we had, it was four times, I counted four, that we had a third down situation, and you threw the ball not even to the sticks. Like, that should be a cardinal sin. If you need 4 yards or 5 yards, why are you throwing it behind the sticks? Why do you have a play designed to throw the ball behind the sticks? So, like I say, to me, it was play calling. Well, that's the reason why we struggle on third down so much.
Well, for me, it was the quarterback decision, including the play calling, because there was one instance where he's running on third down, and I said, throw it away. Jeremy can vouch for this. I said, throw it away. He threw an interception. He threw it.
He was pressing at that point.
Yeah, he was just forcing it. Yeah. And it's like, you don't have to force it.
I mean, he had some people chasing him on that play, but he wasn't like about to get sacked or anything. No. He could have done anything but throw that pass.
Yeah.
He could have threw it in the ground. He could have threw it out of bounds. Farther out of bounds. Run out of bounds. He did that a couple times where he took a loss by running it out of bounds.
But at the same time, like it was coming towards the end of the half. He knew that they needed to get some points on the board because the defense wasn't stopping anybody. So it was like we need.
They were stopping at the water jug,
right?
So in his, I'm only thinking in his mind. Look, my defense isn't stopping them. We need to score points, and that's what leads to him pressing. But it was still bad. Anyway you want to say it, it was a bad decision.
It was a bad throw too. It to the sideline. He threw it back in towards
throws.
The field.
I mean, missed touchdown in the corner of the end zone to Ian Pfeiffer.
Yeah, 6'6" guy. Throw it up. Yeah.
He threw it dead at his legs.
When he threw it behind him too. He had to kind of twist. Yeah. Like, turn around back. But I mean, Malik was.
He was still good. I mean, he was still good. He just wasn't.
There was nothing in our. I mean, you put up 34 points, you should win.
Most
should.
Our offense had no. You know, Tutu, what, 11 receptions?
He had over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I mean,
one guy that was missing yesterday, that we had in the first game that showed out was Braden Smith. I'm interested in seeing what you all think. What happened to Braden Smith yesterday?
Partly, I think it was.
You went first last time, but go ahead, take
well,
it.
Well, I did, but I had like.
Well, we've all went first at other things, so.
Fair, I'll allow it.
Hit the button. Hit the thing.
Sorry.
Un-effing believable. Anyway.
Pretty believable.
Part of it was Miami was getting pressure. I know we were talking about. They were getting a lot of pressure on him. And it was not allowing
on McHale.
On McHale.
No, he's not McHale anymore. He's Malik.
Malik.
He's back to Malik.
McHale Malik Cunningham.
I should have stayed.
McHale Malik Cunningham. They were getting a lot of pressure on him, and that didn't allow him to be able to let those deep throws develop.
That's true, and I think that my next point on here, I think, goes hand in hand with that. So we won't go away from that point, but we'll kind of intertwine this one. The offensive line yesterday, it graded out as being the top O-line last week.
Not last night.
But last night, again, it took us a whole half to get. So you think that the O-line's inability to keep the pressure away? Because both lines got manhandled last night.
Yeah, they did.
So do you think that had to do – because you think if you got Des Fitzpatrick double-teamed and you got Tutu covered pretty well –
somebody Braden should have been open.
Should be, so, yeah, somebody. Yeah.
And this is why I said earlier it boils down. It was the play calling was horrendous because if you know your offensive line was outmatched, your play calling should be towards I'm gonna help my offensive lineman. So some quick screens here, some quick screens there, getting getting Mikhail out of the pocket, things like that, moving the launching area, like things like that to help your offensive line. Miami's just defense was just teeing off on Mikhail just about every single time because they knew they couldn't stop them.
See, I personally don't think, considering the level of competition they played, I don't think the offensive line played horrible. I mean,
they
helped Javion get 200. I mean, he had 164 yards rushing, 209 overall. I mean, Malik was able to get 300. I mean, like, we moved the ball. Now, again, yeah, I think they had 10 hurries and one sack.
Yeah, I think they had more than
three
one sack.
Sacks.
Yeah.
3 sacks, sorry. 10 hurries and 3 sacks. Okay. But, I mean, everybody, you know, talks, which we'll preview them later, about Pittsburgh's defense. That's about what they've averaged. So, I mean, is Miami's defense as good as Pittsburgh's defense supposedly is? I mean, we still put points up. That's what I'm getting at.
And they hit the quarterback last night. They hit our quarterback. They had 7 QB hits.
Well, some of those were Malik running towards them or not getting out of the way like he should. So I don't put all those QB hits.
It's a mental thing,
all
too.
On the offensive line.
It's a mental thing because he didn't think he had the protection. For the most part, he didn't. So he was trying to get out early. He's trying to escape. He's trying to do things. And he put himself in harm's way a lot because of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I guess I'm just saying, like, based on where we've been with the offensive line and now against a pretty – what it looks like a pretty high-powered Miami offense.
Yes, the strength of their defense is definitely the front four.
Yeah.
Definitely the front four.
I mean.
Yeah.
I don't feel like – I would give them a C. I mean, I wouldn't give them, like, oh, it was piss poor or anything like that. I would say, you know what? I think they did about as well as they could.
But they didn't get much help from the play calling.
I agree. I said that earlier. I thought some of the play calling was a little, like, head scratchy. Like,
The point that the game really started to change last night, at the 11:28 mark, we scored we went on a 7-play 75-yard drive that took us 3.5 minutes to go on. In the next 6 minutes of game clock time, there were a total, including that drive, 4 touchdowns scored in 6 minutes. We went 7 for 75 touchdown. They went 1 for 75 and a touchdown, 13 seconds. Our next drive was lengthier than that first one coming out of the half. It was 11 plays, 74 yards, 6 minutes long. And then they immediately come back with a 1-play J, 1 for 75 yards. And that took 11 seconds. So, you know, everybody is wanting to trash the game last night. But if you took the names off this – okay, so, Sam, you've got the sheet. If you took Louisville and Miami off that sheet and you asked me as a professional to analyze it and – I'm not looking at you no more, Higgy. Analyze it and tell you who won. I'm saying that Louisville won.
I would too.
And, again, if – if let's just say that Louisville did what Miami did last night, Miami did what Louisville did last night, that is a top 20 matchup. That's the way those do normally go and should go. One of the teams gets up big, the other one comes back, the other one stretches it out. Sometimes the other ones come all the way back. We didn't come all the way back, but I'm trying to use terms that Sean don't understand. but okay, I thought you were about to say something, Joy, but. You know, I'm really not, like, here's the thing. This Twitter thing, man, y'all have got to chill out on that. Y'all are tweeting players. Y'all are tweeting their parents are seeing it and saying something to you. Y'all don't know it's their parents, and y'all are telling them to go blank themselves and stuff like that. it's just not a good look, man. Social media has just been awful.
Some bullies.
It is. And
that's all it is bullies.
At halftime, me and Wes, I was reading some of the comments, and it was like, Louisville not ready for prime time. Louisville sucks. Louisville shouldn't play another game this year. And I'm like, my God. And then the third quarter comes, we score that first touchdown, and then the same people are like, looks like we came to play. And I'm like, what?
Pick a side.
Everybody
a side.
On Twitter bipolar, first off. Not making fun of that disease or condition.
I need you to keep that same energy.
Yeah, keep. But the thing, like, man, those two one-play Jays, they really, really killed us.
Oh, yeah.
Without what you take
us 14 points away, we won by one.
I mean,
yeah.
Louisville.
Yeah.
If you just take one of those drives away.
We lose
maybe
by seven.
Six. Maybe our morale isn't low.
Yeah, there was momentum changers.
Every single time.
We finished up the game. We did end Derek King's streak of passing and rushing.
We sure did.
For one touchdown or two?
No, a passing and a rushing touchdown.
So, I mean, we did end that.
Oh, yeah, he didn't run the ball very well against us. Scrambling. No. He didn't eight carries for 9 yards. So
we kind of answered this next question. It was, why did we not throw the ball downfield? Now, I want to be completely transparent with you all. I created the recap questions at halftime last night. So a lot of these are gloom and doom.
Okay.
A lot of them are time sensitive. So at this point, we hadn't thrown the ball downfield that much. But I think that attests to question number three about the O-line not warming up yet. So we'll skip through that. But defensively, Sam, and I know you're a defensive guy. Why were we not able to get much penetration or pressure on defense yesterday?
For one,
are they just that much more talented
no,
on offense?
No, like we know Louisville doesn't have the pass rushers yet. They're getting there. They've added some Monty Montgomery, Yaya Diaby, Thurman Gathers. These guys they can rush the passer. It just takes them a while. Okay. One thing I said about Coach Brown, I said this last year when we played Notre Dame, I don't want to ever see another three-man front ever again. We gave up third down conversions against Notre Dame for 24 and another one of 17 yards.
We did it last night.
When he went to rushing three-man, and then he came right back to rushing three-man again, and we gave up third down after third down. I don't understand why is it that you already don't have the pass rushers, and then you take one off the line.
Well, it's because when you get beat for 75 yards over the top,
no,
you
this
feel like
the first quarter.
Well, no, I'm just saying plays like that makes you want to try to keep the ball in front of you, like keep more people in the backfield.
Man, that didn't work at all.
I'm not saying that it was the smartest idea, but
we could agree to disagree on that.
By the way, Higgy, real quick, the polls don't come out till 2, so I see that you're over there working hard, doing nothing to look for them to come up. I just wanted to let you know. Go ahead, Sam.
But the defense. Albeit for three plays, they did a really good job. I'm not gonna lie and say okay. They did a really good job yesterday, albeit for three plays. And two of those plays was at safety Isaiah Hayes. One of those plays, he was actually held by the offensive lineman. The other one, I don't know who he was trying to guard because he was guarding air.
Well, you did a good job.
Yeah.
It stayed there.
Yeah. And then on the third one, touchdown to Jordan. That's a coaching error right there. That's when you call timeout because you had Lovie Jenkins trying to signal over to the boundary corner. There's no one over there. Come over here. It's two of us and three of them. Get over here. No one knew what was going on that defense but a freshman. And you see Roger Burns come over late. But that's when the coach has to call a timeout. Like, hey, we're not lined up properly. Call a timeout.
So then you're saying what's wrong with our defense overall is just that we need a leader.
The communication.
Right, so we need a leader. We need somebody to step up and take responsibility for everything. I was really, really, really confident that depth was not going to be an issue this year. I haven't seen us utilize that yet.
I still don't think it's an issue right now.
It was last year. That's why we got done like this last year.
Right. This year it wasn't because of depth. It was being in the wrong spots or not being in a spot at all.
And, you know, just a little bit off topic. A month and a half ago, me and a coworker talked, and I said, I suggest them, you know, with all the COVID restrictions, maybe
Brett Favre wearing a Tampa Bay T-shirt.
Maybe the NCAA should limit the no huddle offense, the hurry up offense, because with people having so much limitations on practice, limitation on conditioning, limitation on
Miami did that a few times against us
right,
last night.
And that right there, it
paid
hurt.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah, it hurt Louisville because not only did they were doing the hurry up, Brian Brown just couldn't get the play call in time a lot of times.
And we've got the horses on offense to be able to do that.
Yes.
We need to do that on offense more.
Yes, we should. We really should go to more of a hurry-up offense to get defensive on their heels. And we don't, for whatever reason. I don't understand it.
Communication, too. That's what when he mentioned. Communication, where are the guys? Like you mentioned, Levy Jenkins is calling out, hey, we got an issue here, right? Why was nobody looking at him? Half the defense wasn't even looking at him. It took forever for somebody to finally acknowledge that he was saying, because he's sitting there yelling, screaming,
jumping
up and down.
Large, loud, raucous crowd that was there.
And then Roger Burns came over late and took a bad angle.
He stopped. Was it me? Yeah, he stopped.
He did stop. I don't think he knew what the play call was. I don't think he knew if he was in zone or if he was in man. He just was coming over because Lovey over there for like 30 seconds was trying to get someone's attention. Yeah. And I know he's a freshman. And I'm not sure. Can you call timeouts on the field? Can players call timeouts on the field?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Higgy, polls don't come out. Check to see if players can call timeout.
They should have called. Someone should have called a timeout because I heard over the radio a little bit after the game that the Miami sidelines was going crazy trying to get a hold of De'Aaron King to let him know.
Hurry up.
Yeah, so
if
they saw
side,
it,
yeah.
Why didn't and Lovey Jenkins saw it? What was going on in the Louisville coaching staff to why they didn't see it and call a timeout?
Players can call a timeout.
Well, as a freshman, he should have called it. He's a true freshman. Maybe that's he'll work on that.
Hey,
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I do too.
Really quick before we move on to the move past this Miami stupid.
We're gonna beat them next year. I went through it. You heard me earlier.
We don't play them next year.
Well,
we only
the next
play them
time
every four
we play
years.
Them.
We got lucky enough that we got unlucky enough that they were a COVID replacement for Clemson. This year, but I agree with you. I think we're going to get them next time down at Coral Gables or wherever it is they play now. Where's Hard Rock Stadium at, Sean?
Nobody knows.
No, I have no idea.
You know why? Because they're the Maryland of the NFL. They're trash.
Yeah.
Sorry. But anyway.
Losers.
So
poor Devontae.
Poor Devontae.
Oh, my bad. Except for Devontae. I mean, that's my guy. But
I was talking about – I wasn't talking about people. I was talking about
– Fair enough.
Program.
And before we move on, like you said on Twitter, people need to ease up. I saw a lot of fire Coach Brown tweets yesterday.
God.
I was like, dude, are y'all serious? Like, this is the first time we've had.
I'm glad I don't work for them.
Right.
Because if I make, heaven forbid, I make a couple mistakes.
Man.
Fire Joe Wauman.
I'm convinced after last night that a majority of Twitter is just a bunch of people who are sexually frustrated and the only way they know how to take it out. It is the tweet.
Yes, we are looking at you, Sean.
Ooh, Higgy.
Oh. Ooh, even Higgy's firing.
28,
Sean.
28 minutes into the show and Higgy talks.
Sean,
Higgy's
can you tell your
you.
People to calm down?
Hey, make a statement. Do something.
WSF, white and sexually frustrated.
Oh, God.
Wow.
So the last point before we go to the next part of the show.
WSF.
The oldest – now, I didn't say this. Higgy added this. I just wanted – I said that Jeff Nunn –
I did not add anything here.
You're a big fat liar. I sent him a text, and I can show it to you all, that said – Jeff said he wants to know, do the Cardinals drop out of the top 25? Higgy admitted that and put it in incorrectly into the timeline as also the oldest member of Cardinal Sports Zone – and of the earth, Jeff Nunn wants to know, do the cards drop out of the top?
Damn, he called him Father Time.
He did.
He said, and of the earth. Oh,
so I do
he
not.
He had Moses' beeper number.
I do not think that we will fall
Jesus
out
was
of.
Was his best friend.
All right, that went too far. One, two, three. I went Moses. I didn't go Jesus.
Higgy, talking to your microphone real quick.
Test.
Okay. So I know which one's his.
It never gets old.
It's
un-effing believable.
No, it's pretty believable.
But
Sean,
I do think we drop out of the top 25.
So you do. I don't. I think we stick at 24 or 25 because Pittsburgh is in the top 25. They're going to shoot up this week to about 20 or 21. If we defeat them next week.
No, we will.
That will keep. I've changed my mind, actually. I do believe we'll beat Pittsburgh, and I actually think we're going to beat Notre Dame, too.
If we don't drop out,
instead of Miami,
we're 25.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if 24 25. Through 26. So that so I'm,
well, 26
I'm
will
iffy.
Be dropping out.
Right. That's why I said I'm iffy on the answer, because I can see us at 24, 25, 20. Actually,
we deserve to right now.
Do the Big Ten teams start getting ranked this week, or is it next week? I think next week.
They
next
don't start week, for three more, three or four
that doesn't
more weeks, right?
Next week.
What? It's next week. Yeah.
So they were out of the poll for 1 week.
Yes.
Two.
Oh, okay. And they don't start for another month.
And they had six teams that were in the top 25. That's going to push a lot of these 20. The top 25 is going to look a lot different next week. Teams are going to win that are in the top 25, and they're going to fall out of the top 25.
Good thing is other teams that were outside of it have had a chance to show what they can do already before the Big Ten gets going. So some of those teams that may have been towards the back half of the top 25 may not re-enter.
They won't.
At this point.
Correct. That's why I think that we stay, and if we beat Pittsburgh, we will be.
When we beat Pittsburgh.
Right. Well, right, but I thought we were going to thrash Miami too, so I'm not going to just
count my chickens before they hatch. That they had some playmakers on offense.
We did. We did. Because y'all
let us know. We called a high-scoring game on both sides.
We did, and actually, at the website, only Mitch correctly guessed that we were going to lose, but our over/under was pretty spot on. As a team, we also thought that it was going to be a high scoring game, but nevertheless, I do believe that when we beat Pittsburgh next week,
there you go,
we're going to fall to 26.
I think Pitt's offense may be like the third best that we have faced all year. I'm being serious.
Western's offense
might be better than Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just making a joke. Like, they're going to be the third best offense we played all year. Like,
I got you now.
Yeah, I mean, this will be the third team we play. They may be third one down.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we're going to head to the commercial break real quick. We're going to come back, going to talk about our wonderful sponsors, and we're going to preview Pitt. This is the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast.
Come on out to Four Pegs Beer Lounge, located at 1053 Goss Avenue. Four Pegs has the best and most rolls for your eating pleasure. With daily specials on food and drinks and weekly dishes that are sure to wow your taste buds, Four Pegs is the place for you. One of my favorite things about Four Pegs, other than the food, is the great atmosphere and fun times you can have at Four Pegs. Chris is a community pillar and a great guy, and you can tell he wants everyone to have a great time there. For more info and daily specials, give our guy Chris a call at 502-634-1447. That's 502-634-1447. Four Pegs Beer Lounge.
Come on out to Altitude Trampoline Park of Louisville, located in the heart of Shively. We are a huge, bright, family-friendly trampoline park. We offer large spaces for birthday parties with top-of-the-line experiences and 2 hours of jump time with every party. Our prices for family fun are competitive with the other guys as well. Make sure you check out our foam area. It's awesome. So come on out to Altitude Trampoline Park of Louisville and have a blast. I know me and my sisters always do.
Yeah, buddy.
If you have any questions, please give us a call at 502-449-9952. That's 502-449-9952.
Hello, Card Nation. If you need your yard taken care of, then go to a guy that I trust, Rob Black in Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. If you need it done, they can do it. Rob has over 30 years of experience in the business, and he takes care of my lawn as well. He does an amazing job. Services include lawn care, fall cleanups, pressure washing, landscaping, soft washing, gutter cleaning, cleanups, and much more. Average yard costs about $30. Average overall cleanup cost is about $125. So if you're interested, give our guy Rob at Derby City Lawn and Landscaping a call at 502-773-5757. That's 502-773-5757. Derby City Lawn and Landscaping.
Custom Multicades makes authentic, quality arcade machines at the most reasonable prices. When you're looking for the perfect piece for your family game room or man cave, you can find what you want at Custom Multicades, right here in the Ville. Whether you're looking for an upright game, cocktail table game, or even a bourbon barrel game, Custom Multicades is the place to go. They even carry Golden Tee games and virtual pinball machines as well. You can get all the classic games you love, like Pac-Man, Galaga, Centipede, Space Invaders, Donkey Kong, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, WrestleFest, Altered Beast, so much, Shinobi, Bad Dudes, Ninja Gaiden, all of them, just depending on which pack you pick. When you get in contact with Chris and Linda, they will steer you to the right pack. They are some of the best customer service people that I've ever dealt with. I have one in my home, so you can trust me on that. They do pride themselves, though, on providing the best product at a reasonable price and backing that up with excellent customer service. They are a locally owned company by Chris and Linda Stewart. They have been in the amusement business for over 20 years. But let's get back to that game. You can customize it not only with games, but with graphics. Their graphics team can help you turn your arcade into a family heirloom or business centerpiece. Pro teams, college teams, even your business logo, maybe even your face. Don't quote me on that one. That may be incorrect. You can also get light up buttons, light up joysticks. You can customize the trim, all of the panel stickers, everything. It's an amazing product, and I can say that because I have one in my home. So if you're interested in getting your own arcade game, give them a call at 502-819-5802. That's 502-819-5802. Or check them out online at CustomMulticades.com. Welcome back to the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. We are here joining you. We're being brought to you by the Jabon Brown Foundation and coming to you live from the Custom Multicade Studios. We're going to get right into the second part of our show, which is the preview over Pittsburgh. But first, we want to talk about our fine sponsors, Shack in the Back Barbecue, locally owned. They smoke all their food on real fire pits. Amazing food. Higgy, I don't know why I'm automatically looking at you for all the food reads, but tell us a little bit about some of the stuff you've had from Shack in the Back.
I've had their ribs, and their turkey ribs are phenomenal.
Turkey ribs are money.
Yes. The smoked bologna sandwich, you can't go wrong there.
Smoked bologna.
Also, too, the pulled pork is phenomenal. There's a lot of things. There's sides. That burgoo. I know Sean loves it. That burgoo is something else.
Burgoo.
I hate when he says burgoo.
And also, too, the mac and cheese. It's probably some of the best mac and cheese.
He can't find any food that he really don't like. But this is slow smoked to perfection, the old-fashioned way. On the flyer, it says, why order from Shack in the Back Barbecue? Well, they do guarantee on-time delivery. They have second and third shift deliveries. They give you a larger portion of meats and sides than the other guys for the value, they say. Made from scratch side dishes and desserts, full service catering, on-site grilling, quality meats, smoked on old-fashioned pits, and locally family operated and owned since 2006. That's Shack in the Back Barbecue. If you would like to place an order with them, that's 363-3BBQ. That's 363-3BBQ. Our next sponsor, Fitness Market. They are the local leading suppliers of fitness equipment in the city of Louisville. We got a treadmill for them. It's amazing. We got a great deal on it. Use it every day. Well, I was using it every day, and the stuff with Dad happened, so I've stopped using it. But I'm going to start using it every day again starting tomorrow. But nevertheless, great equipment, great quality. Great people out there, Chris and Pat. Sarah. No, Pat. Why would you say Pat?
A Fitness Market?
Yeah.
That was the two brothers.
It's Chris and, well.
Chris and Pat Wider.
Okay. Well, Chris and Sarah is the one that.
Sorry.
Hey, Pat, gotcha. That's 502-882-2694. 502-882-2694. Sorry, call Pat. Them for your local fitness needs. Custom Multicades, that's Chris and Linda Stewart. They can make you just about anything. I've got two arcade machines here. They've got, I upgraded my one player arcade over here a couple months ago. to a two-player arcade, and they included all the games. Joey, I'm telling you, this is breaking news. It's getting upgraded again to the total arcade package here in a month, which includes all of your Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis, Sega, Master System, every video game
does
ever.
Does it have Metroid?
It does.
All right,
it's got Metal Gear. It's got everything. Every game that's ever come out pretty much on the 80s and 90s consoles will be there. It's got Tecmo Bowl. It's got everything. Can't wait to get it upgraded. They're going to call me and let me come in and test it out first. So whoever wants to ride with me that day, we can get it. But that's custom multicades. I hope it was okay for me to spill those beans. If not, just ignore everything I just said. talk about our guy Rob Black out at Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. He's been mowing yards for over 10 years. He takes phenomenal care of everybody's yard. He takes good care of my yard. He offers special pricing for military and senior citizens as well. Higgy, I'm going to fire you because the second week in a row, you did not include his phone number on the shot sheet. We'll get it to you here before we finish these reads up. So look for it now, Higgy. And last but certainly not least, Shack in the Back Barbecue, our guy Chris Williams, 634-1447. Did I say Shack in the Back?
Yep.
Our guy Chris Williams out at Four Pegs Beer Lounge. That's 634-1447. 634-1447. His menu. I love everything that Chris does out there out at Four Pegs Beer Lounge because not only is the food good, but he's like me. He gets really, really creative. And the dishes that they have are just unbelievable. They've got this dish out there called the Louisville Lip, and they have a Louisville Lip Challenge. So like you do every week, this is the part of the job you can't mess up.
Nope.
Unless you try, which I don't expect you to try. But tell them what is involved in the Louisville Lip Challenge.
Involves fried green tomatoes, a pound of pulled pork.
Can you tell me real quick what a fried green tomato is?
It's pure perfection.
No. You said fried green tomato.
Tomato.
What is a tomato?
I thought I said tomato as well.
No.
Tomato, whatever.
No, but then also the brisket chili is phenomenal. Beer cheese, a pint of fries or tots.
A pint of fries?
A pound.
Pound.
You know what? I would love to have a show one time where it's just us and then Higgy and Chris talking.
They have their own language.
They really do. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I did not mean. So go ahead. Take it from the top. Fried green tomatoes, beer cheese, and what else?
Let me pull back up the picture here that I had of it.
I'm sorry. Jeez, I thought you had it in your head.
No. I'm thinking about going out and trying it. I think Joey's going to compete against me here on it.
I don't think it'd be much of a competition. But
fried green tomatoes?
Yes, on the fried green tomatoes.
Okay. Man, I love me some fried green tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
But what else is on there? Beer cheese,
beer
pound
cheese,
of pint of fries, pulled pork,
brisket.
Sorry, I'm trying to pull up the menu here because I haven't ordered lately at all.
That's a lie. What a friend. It was bookmarked on your
right.
DoorDash.
What a friend.
He said bookmarked on your DoorDash.
He had it under his favorites on Postmates.
Hello, Higgy.
You're making us look really, really bad, Higgy, and that's par for the course for you, but still.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm trying to find the look back.
Anyway, he's got tremendous food. I'm sorry, Chris, if you listen to this, Higgy has failed you this week. But go out there, Four Pegs. He's a great person. He does great stuff for the community. Check him out. Once again, his phone number is 502-634-1447. And our guy Rob Black out at Derby City Lawn and Landscape, and his number is 502-773-5757. And I wonder if Rob created that number. Wasn't Rob number 57 at DOS, Joey?
Dude, I
never mind.
Have no
you can't
clue.
Even remember what happened Monday.
Let alone. I have no clue. All
right, so let's move forward. We are going straight into Pittsburgh. Joey, tell us a little bit about the key players on both sides of the ball for Pittsburgh.
Let me get my sheets back over here. Let me make sure I got the right ones. Oh, Sam done stole from me.
That's important.
Offensively, I wouldn't say they really have any key guys. They have a quarterback. They have a couple running backs. they really don't seem too impressive on offense. And, you know, I'm not.
So we're going to make one of their guys look like a Heisman Trophy candidate next week.
Which
one's most likely on offense to become the Heisman Trophy?
Oh, let me find this guy.
They have a really good wide receiver. I think he sat out the first two games.
Jacques-Louis looks like that's the name I'm going to call.
Is that his actual name or is that
Shockey?
Yeah.
Shockey okay. Jacques-Louis.
He would be their second.
but his long is 68. I mean, like, he was talking about, like, who's, like, the long. Like, if they hit a deep pass for somebody that beats us, it's probably. But, I mean, they have, like, a running back by committee, by it committee. Seems. I mean, there's really no star running back. Quarterback's got pedestrian numbers. Defensively, the names that just popped off to me, and again, I don't know much about Pittsburgh, I'll be honest with you. I hear that they've got a great defense. You know, it's put around that they've got a great defensive line. This doesn't tell me position, so I couldn't tell you if they were D-line or not. But Cam Bright.
He's a linebacker.
Yeah, so not defensive line, but, I mean, he seems like he's probably their best all-around defender.
I disagree.
Well, I didn't ask you.
Oh.
This is Joey's time, Dalton. Calm
Nine
down.
Tackles, two tackles for loss, and a sack. I mean, he's one QB hurry. He's leading the team pretty much right there in every defensive category. So I would say that Cam Bright statistically, let me change that, has been their best defender this year.
He's like their
in
their
two
dog,
games.
Roger Burns.
In two games.
Yeah, he plays like the Roger Burns.
He may not be their most hyped guy.
Gotcha.
But so far he's been but you also, I mean, as a team, two games, they've got 21 tackles for loss, 10 sacks, and four QB hurries. So they do put pressure on the opposing quarterback, but they've played Austin Peay and Syracuse.
Okay, well, speaking of the team defense, which is we're going to go turn to Sam for that, tell us a little bit about the overall Pittsburgh defense, Sam.
Well, if you thought Miami defense gave us problems, it's a whole nother animal when it comes to Pittsburgh's defense.
So you think Pittsburgh's defense is better than Miami's?
Overall, yes. The defensive front four is similar.
Okay, that's fair.
But where Pittsburgh separates themselves is the linebacker position with guys like Davis Wendell and Cam Bright, like Joey mentioned. And then when you go to their secondary – guys like Jason Pinnock and Paris Ford, like, those are legit. Like, Paris Ford is a safety. I think he had two interceptions against Syracuse.
Yeah, he has two.
So he plays like that deep safety. So they're gonna try to do what Miami did, which is play two high safeties, maybe one safety in the field just to make sure that two doesn't go deep. So watch for him to read Mikhail Malik's eyes a lot. As the leader of their defense in the backfield, in the secondary. So, Louisville's going to have a tough task trying to score on this defense.
I'll say it again. Like,
if the play calling isn't better.
Just like this past week, Louisville's offense didn't have any problem. We'll put up 35 points. Can Pitt score 35 points?
That's the question. Hopefully, no.
Sean, for the Cards to beat Pittsburgh this week, what do we need to do?
Well, firstly,
and don't say score more points than we're all slack.
Score,
man. That was
firstly, we have to actually line up on defense and communicate so that we know what we're doing.
I would like to think that will be addressed this week.
I protect the ball.
I'll protect the ball. The other thing is you got the offensive line has to block better. They blocked okay. I mean, they did block okay against Miami, but they still have to block better because they.
They block Mikhail. Better. Javion's going to have 300 yards rushing. I like that, though.
But you're going to have a big game from Tutu and a big game from Javion again. They got to step up, and then you got to have the defense just do their job. If they do their job, Pitt won't score probably 7 points if they do their job.
Well, I think that's very, very ambitious. I will also say that I feel like this probably if Pittsburgh's defense is as good as our offense is, that then it's going to be a very tough game. It's going to be another. I actually am looking for this to be, which we'll throw our predictions in here real quick too, before the end. But I think it's going to be a very, very tight game. Wes, we'll go to this because I know you're a former high school football player. Did you play in college?
No. I was redshirted my first year.
Okay. I knew you went to college to play football. I didn't know if you played or not. But Pittsburgh's not going to have any fans in attendance, which as high school football players, we're all used to really playing in front of limited to no crowds anyway, especially at DOS, PRP.
Atherton
didn't even let people in the doors.
You went to Atherton?
Damn it.
Sean went to Butler. Mm-hmm. Higgy went to McDonald's East, I think.
God damn.
But how's that going to affect the game? Playing with no fans? Let me reiterate that. Do we have a better chance of winning since there's not going to be any fans? Is it just going to feel like a glorified practice? I said fried because right. I was looking at Higgy. Is this going to be a glorified practice? Let's get your thoughts on it.
Well, to me on that one, it feels like a scrimmage for real because it's like you can't play in front of your city, your friends, your family, and because of COVID, you can't really do much of anything.
COVID.
Now, stupid. Now, yeah, we used to be high school players, and we would be used to playing in front of my friends and family. They're like the sixth man. It's like the ultimate fan base there to cheer you on. You'd be like, oh, we gonna play for y'all and stuff like that. So it really gets you hyped to know you're about to play in front of your city and do a lot of things for it. But pretty much to me, it's just another scrimmage, just like every other college game we've been watching and stuff like that. Well, we had fans at ours, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
12,114.
Okay.
We you meant at Lowell. I thought you meant like in high school.
Well,
like,
not really.
That many.
No. I was talking about
Let's get a different aspect from somebody that never saw any playing time.
Dang.
Higgy.
Or got off the bench. Did you play high school football, Higgy?
I did not.
You did not. So were you one of those guys that just walked around the track the whole game?
No, I actually cheered on my friends and family that I had.
You were a cheerleader?
Did you have a Letterman's jacket?
No, I did not have a Letterman's jacket.
Oh, effing boy.
I can see that. Like, I could see Higgy walking around.
Were you the mascot?
I was not the mascot. Hey. I was not no Charger.
Higgy. Were you a cheerleader?
Effing boy.
No, I was not a cheerleader.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you went to Bullet East.
Oh, thanks, yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, you could have went to J-Town. Aren't they the Chargers?
Yeah, yes. They are. But I'm going straight to Bullet East.
But he was like, yeah, dummy, it was Bullet East. I think the Charger.
I think he might have had more but swag.
I was taking it up for you.
Point. I appreciate it.
I could see Higgy walking around with his Letterman jacket.
Higgy's got a point to make.
I was going to say Rashard Weaver for defense-wise.
Yes.
For what point? Nobody asked a question.
Well, it's Rashad.
Yes, but I'm saying for –
okay,
right
I'm
now.
Not to the.
He's the defensive end.
Just let him go. Let him do it. Let him do it.
Okay.
Let's go.
He's a reigning national player of the week.
52 minutes in.
For 2 weeks in a row. So I'd be
so
watching.
So he's national player of the week for 2 years in a row?
Two weeks in a row.
Defensive player or overall?
Overall.
Yeah.
So he's been the player of the week in what? All
defensive.
Conferences, all games.
Yes.
Defensive.
I don't believe
it. Well,
that's
heck,
true.
Let's rip it up, man. I'm just going to change my score. 7-0 Pittsburgh.
Let's head to the predictions real quick.
You ain't doing that.
Sean, give us a score. Give us just one guy in the stat line. I don't want all the stat lines. One score, one guy that's going to shine.
It's going to be, I believe, 24-7 Louisville. And I think that it's going to be Javian Hawkins. It's got to be Javian to me.
Okay, Sam?
35-17 Louisville. I think we find a legit third receiver, whether it be Braden Smith or Justin Marshall, one of those two. It's going to be our third receiver.
Joey?
41-20 Louisville. Because I do think that our defense is still, I'm going to kind of walk it back a little bit. They're going to give up some plays.
Yeah.
So they'll get a little bit of scoring on offense, not because they're good, just because we're not as good on defense. Javian goes for 200 on the ground. I think we keep this ball. We keep this game on the ground. We keep this game more on the ground against Pittsburgh.
We did against Miami. We had 49 rushes.
Okay, no, I'm saying we keep it more on the ground. Yeah, but we threw the ball 30 times. I'm saying I don't think we're going to throw the ball 30 times this next game.
Wes, what about you?
For me, I got 31-17 Louisville. I think it's going to be a close game. I think our defense is still going to be sleeping in the first, second quarter. which I'm not trying to hate on them, but they need to do better. Yeah, that's just how I feel.
Was it against Boston College last year where we had, or was it Wake Forest, or was it both where we had so many missed coverage?
It was both.
It was 2019.
Tight end, man. Tight end. Just
every time.
Higgy?
35-14 Louisville. And one player in particular, I say Yaya Diaby. He's got to have a huge game on the defensive side to be able for us to win.
Pittsburgh has no offense.
They have a stationary quarterback, which should help Louisville's defense.
They run a very slow. They're not a fast-paced offense. I think that's why Louisville has a chance to actually be better.
So that's why I think we ground both sides of the ball. It's a slow game. There's some scoring, but it's
if
on
Louisville's
the ground.
Run defense is better than it was last year, this is the game is going to show.
I'm going to go 31-28 Louisville. I think it's going to be a very close game because our defense matched up with any offense is a problem right now.
Even Atherton's offense?
No. I mean, yeah, I wish we'd have played Atherton 10 times a year. We'd have won 76-0 every week. But shout out to, though, real quick before I go into my details. We don't know what the issues or circumstances were, but Juwan Pass was ruled out right before the game due to personal reasons. If it's something, you know, thoughts and prayers your way. We don't know what happened. It could have been something as simple as he was running a feed. I mean, they didn't give us a reason. They didn't shoot us a reason why. They just sent – I got an email about an hour before kickoff saying Juwan was out. So hopefully it ain't nothing too serious. But 31-28 is my call. I think that the star of the show next week is Braden Smith. I think he comes back. It's definitely going to be a receiver because Pittsburgh's pressure. Yes. I think Mikhail's going to get the ball off a little bit faster next week. I think the O-line's going to be ready a lot sooner. So I'm going to go 31-28 Louisville. And I think that, Malik's going to be the star of the show next week again. He's going to throw for over 300 yards, pass for three touchdowns. I think their defense is too tough for us to have a big day on the ground, but I thought the same about Miami's defense too, and I didn't think the same of Western's defense, and we really struggled a little bit against them, but another show in the books. Appreciate everybody for coming down to record the show. Shout out again also to all of our fine sponsors, Jamon Brown Foundation, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. And I don't know about Higgy, but I'm currently working on more. Higgy, did you ever find out what was on the Louisville Lip sandwich?
Yes, I did.
Fried green tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Apple martini. Just hold that till the end.
Murgatroyd Skittles.
Murgatroyd Skittles. If you'd like to sponsor the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, give us a call, 502-694-0375, or just send me an email to jswaman723@aol.com. Yeah, I know. I've got aol.com. Fight me. Follow us on social media. At Card Sport Zone is where you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. On Facebook, search Cardinal Sports Zone, 3 words. Make a Facebook official. Hit that like button. We like you back. You can find the podcast on all the podcast avenues. And actually, if you subscribe to the podcast, you're going to get the show about an hour or two before everybody else. We post it on Buzzsprout. It shoots it out to everybody, and y'all get it first. So hit that subscribe button, and then I can leave y'all alone and not promote it 100 times a day. That's not true. I'm still going to do that. But you can find us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Barn Burner app, and on iHeart Podcasts, the number one avenue for podcasts. Hit subscribe now. If you haven't listened to all of the previous episodes of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, go back, check them all out. Go to cardinalsportszone.com, click the drop-down menu on podcasts, hit CSZ Podcasts. You can find them all there. Excuse me. You can find them all there. Click on them, listen to them, enjoy them. Our recruiting team at Cardinal Sports Zone is one that I'm very, very proud of right now. They are on fire, as is the entire squad. But check out their exclusive interviews on CardinalSportsZone.com. That's the place where the show started. That's the place it all begins. But follow our recruiting team. Dalton just put up. Sean, can you give us a quick little description of the piece Dalton just posted on the site yesterday?
Yeah, it's about it's about Xavier Simmons, a four-star player, I believe 2022, that Louisville's in contact with. Haven't offered yet, but there seems to be some strong interest there.
All right, so check that out. Dalton really does a good job of getting exclusives. The whole team, the team as a whole, the recruiting team as a whole is awesome. If you want to know something, I mean, you can pay for the other guy's stuff. Or you can come to CardinalSportsZone.com where we give it away for free, even though Sean could literally not give it away for free. shout out to everyone who's out there sharing the podcast. We really do love and appreciate you all. If y'all have any ideas or suggestions for guests or topics or anything, just shoot us a DM. I'm at Jeremy_CSZ.
At Elville Sean.
Baseboy 124.
Joe Wallman 526.
Worldwide West 42.
I am Lee Higgy.
He's something, all right.
Beta.
Fried green tomato. Any last words, Sean?
Wear your mask and don't freak out over this stupid loss. It's just one loss, people. Come on.
Sam?
Relax.
Relax. Joey?
Miami's turnover chain and Maryland's trash.
Higgs?
I found when it's on the level lip.
Okay.
Charles was on the level lip. Took you long.
So, 3 half-pound patties. A fourth of a pound of pulled pork, a fourth of a pound of brisket, a fourth of a pound of burnt ends, 6 slices of cheese, 6 fried green tomatoes, 12 fried pickles, and a pound of fries.
Wes, any last thoughts?
For those thighs.
Each day, try to make yourself be better and do better.
You got to do. We had a podcast called "I'm gonna need you to do better." At one point,
I know,
point.
And we never even we did like what? Two of them.
No, you stopped showing up, so I'm gonna need you to do better at showing up for the podcast.
Oh, great! I show up for this one.
That's the one that counts. Until next time, this has been the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. Much love, peace.
I was thinking about that too.